Take your Bible and turn with me, if you would, please, to Hebrews 11, 1. Now, our verse for the year, the word for the year. There's a lot of verses with now in it. I don't remember my post, but it's like 1,500 and something times the word now is used in 1,500 and something verses that I put out on the internet. Now. You ever heard a little saying, there's no time like the present? Now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is not the American word, oh God, I hope it don't rain this afternoon when it's coming to flood outside, okay? It's not that. This is a word from the Greek, and the King James translators put in the word hope, and you can look it up, and it's actual anticipation and expectation of, matter of fact, the coming of Jesus Christ is called hope. In Titus 2:13, he said, looking for the glorious appearing and the blessed hope. So it's not maybe he's going to come, I hope he gets it straight. No, no, it's a solid. For the evidence of things not seen with the natural eyes. So now is the word for the year. Today the Lord on the way to church said the worst regret, the rawest, most painful, exposed form of regret is the one, Matthew, that you can't fix. Because it's just too deep, or the person's dead. Now, he spoke to me as I was standing right over there, and they were singing. And so I wrote this down in connection with that. I can take the Word of God and build my faith. The Bible teaches that, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I can control that, Captain Ron. I can control how much I read the Bible. There's a few things in the Word of God I can't control. One of them is mercy. There's only one opportunity that I can control mercy. There's one window. If you were here last week, you found out, I believe it was last week, I preached on those little needs when Paul was in Damascus and they was all finna kill him. And all he needed was that window he went out and that basket they let him down. That's all he needed right then. See, money wouldn't help him right then because they're going to kill him anyway. You understand what I'm saying? But he needed that one window. There's one window in the Word of God that will help you control the mercy of God as much as it can be controlled by humanity. It's Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall find mercy. That's the only window of opportunity, I believe, that you will find in the Word of God to control the flow of mercy into your life. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There are some things that I want to see manifest in the natural this year that's in my spirit. Verse number 2, for by faith, the elders obtained a good report. You want a good report? Get your faith. Put it up. Build your faith. Make your faith happen. No matter what you got to do, make your faith happen. Because you cannot grow any stronger spiritually than your faith is. Build your faith. You will by default grow spiritually. Read the Word of God when you have to make yourself read the Word of God. It will do something for you. It's a different kind of book. Read the Word of God. I don't care if it's but one verse. I don't care if it's but two verses. It will have cause and effect. It will have an effect on your spirit. Otherwise, your spirit will dwindle away. And it won't go nowhere because the Holy Spirit is a person that lives in you. But His power outside of you, for instance, Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 20, the Bible says now, that same word, now. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the what? The power that works in us. That power in us is the Holy Spirit. That power in us is faith. You're going to get that from reading this. You read this, I don't care how you feel, it will have a cause and effect on your spirit. You cannot grow spiritually no stronger than your faith is. They just do not work. You understand what I'm saying? Your car will go no further. I don't care if you paid $20 for it or if you paid $200,000 for it. It will go no further than the gasoline that is in it. That's far as it's going to go. I don't care how pretty it is. as far as it's going to go. Now, the depth and the integrity of your faith is what's going to set a standard in your spiritual life. You start building that faith, and God will cause a chain of events to happen in your life that will begin to change your life. If something needs to change in your life, you're going to have to change something. What's that old definition of stupidity? Keep doing the same thing every day, expecting different results. And you know what I'm saying? So everybody knows that. And one friend of mine changed around a little bit. If you keep on doing what you're doing, you're going to keep on getting what you get. Now, sometimes we do go through trials, and you look around, and maybe there's nothing you can change. You just have to stay your course. But after a while, you begin to wonder, Lord, do I need to get on another course? Do I need to make some adjustments that I'm not seeing? So you're going to have to go to God, and you're going to have to ask that. Now, I wrote this down last night. If you want your life to change, you want your world to change, you're going to have to change your faith status. And you will automatically, by default, rise with your faith. If you're in a hard trial, and I pretty much know everybody here is in one. So we're going to have to raise it on up and build our faith to a level that the mountains start to move. You remember that day I talked about forgiveness in the mountains in Mark chapter number 11? You can have what you say. If you don't doubt in your heart and you pray it and you say it and you speak to the mountain, you shall have what you say. But then the other verse right after, hardly anybody ever reads it, talks about forgiveness. You want the mountains to move? Do you want the mountains to move? You're going to have to get involved in forgiveness. Or they're going to just sit right there. Because there's a power in forgiveness. There's power in freeing somebody from hurting you and walking away. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. There's a great power in freeing somebody and walking away. Because you're actually free yourself. It's not them that's free if they hurt you. Verse number 3. Through faith, God did this. This is God's verse. Through faith, we understand, because we've read the Word of God, that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. God used His faith in His own Word, and we're created in His image. Sounds a little heavy. Why would God have to use faith? Well, that's just the way God rolls, okay? Because He wants us to be like Him, and so He used His faith. He framed the worlds with the Word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. He spoke it into existence with His Word and with His faith. It says worlds, plural. I know some of you are probably wondering about that. There's some other worlds floating around, okay? Well, we ain't got our personal world fixed yet, so I wouldn't worry about them other ones if I was you, all right? Verse number 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. In other words, he gave a blood sacrifice. Cain gave something he had come up with, and that don't work. You don't work like that. You go to God with a sacrifice. Verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. He just went walking one day and took a walk with God, and God didn't come back. Enoch didn't come back because God had translated him for... Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, verse 6. In verse 6, we're going to find something you cannot do. Verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible. In the Greek, the word impossible means it cannot be done. You can give all your money. You can come to church every time the door's open. You can even, you can put your camper. Please don't do it. But you can put your camper out here in the churchyard. You can just get all supersonic religious. You can do everything you want to do. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Notice this. And that he is what? A rewarder. What does that mean? Exactly what it says. A reward of them that diligently seek Him. If you want to ramp it on up, we're going to diligently seek Him. God has given me the word now. And I'm not talking about next week. I'm not talking about this afternoon. I'm talking about right now. We need to diligently set our face toward God because there's some crazy stuff going on. There's some crazy, crazy stuff going on outside of these walls. But we are the people of God. We are His people. We have His promises. We have Psalm 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. I will say, I want you to say, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, He is my fortress, He is my God. In Him will I trust. In Him will I have faith. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence. Under His feather, He will put me under His feathers. Under His wings I will trust. His truth, His word shall be my buckler and my shield. I will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth by day, nor of the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor of the destruction that wasteth at noonday. There is no fear in that chapter. So God has good things for you. He has blessed things for you. He wants to touch you. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but Martha, it will not come toward me. Only with my eyes, he says in verse 8, will I see the reward of the wicked. Verse 9, here's why. He says, because you have made the Lord your fortress, you've made Him your habitation, the Most High. Verse 10, no evil shall befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. And that includes COVID in the name of Jesus Christ, whatever that is, all right? Or any of this other mess. I don't want this other stuff either. That's verse 10. Verse 11, he says, I've given my angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. Even if you bump, they'll even pick you up in their hands if you're going to bump your foot against a stone. Verse 13 says that I will tread upon the adder and the lion and the young lion and the dragon. I will trample, Glenn, under my feet. Would you go to Psalm 91, verse 14, please? I want to read these to you. Because God says them directly. First person. Psalm 91, verse 14, 15, and 16. God says them to you. And it's for now. Right now. I don't know how many needs this, but I know I do. Because God's talking about you. Because you have set your love. Do you love God today? I'm not asking you, are you perfect? I said, do you love God today? Okay, then this is for you. If you love God. Because He has set His love upon me, God says, I will deliver him. Which strongly implies that if you need deliverance, you've got some issues you got to deal with. You've got something going on that you can't fix yourself. You need God to do it. I will set you on high. The word high means inaccessible. I'm going to set you so all them other 13 verses work in your life. No evil shall come nigh my place. No plague shall come near my dwelling. Those verses are powerful verses of Scripture, and they have got people through so much stuff. And yes, we're going to have trouble in this world, but this right here says God's going to help us through that trouble. I don't care if that trouble ain't going on 17 months. I will set you on high because He hath known my name, because you know my name. God says, I'll do that. If you love me, know my name. Verse 15. And you can hold Him to His word. He'll call on me. You'll call on God. And I'll answer. Isaiah said, you call Him before you even get through saying my name. Here I am. Isaiah 58. Here I am. You need something? What do you do when your child calls? There can be 50 children on the playground. You mamas are smiling. You grandmothers are smiling. There'd be 50 youngins out there. It sounds like a lot of noise to me. But that one... I said, what's wrong? Well, I heard my baby. He said, you call, and I'll answer. The word call implies you done got serious. Before y'all all got here, I went out that door, and there was a draft, and it slammed. Bam! Martha and Carrie were standing back there, and Martha said, well, you slammed that door. I said, that draft got us today, baby. Okay, that back draft, it's... But God's got a front draft, all right? God can reach and get you and pull you on up out of this mess no matter what's pulling you down. He can clip the weights that don't let your kite fly. You understand what I'm saying? Right. He's the only one to do that. We've seen enough miracles around here in the last 20 years. Why we doubt Him, I don't know, but we do. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him. God says he's going to do all this for you simply because you love him and you know his name. The only two requirements. You ain't got to be wonderful. You ain't got to be this. You ain't got to be that. But God wants you to be like him. And the longer it takes you to call on him, I have a pure heart. the longer you're going to sit in that trouble. The longer it takes you to forgive like Jesus forgives, the longer you're possibly going to sit in that trouble. There's some factors here. There's some other factors that I've already mentioned. Don't forget them, because they're also in the Bible. I will deliver him and I will honor him. Now here's what he's going to honor you with. Verse 16. With long life. Now the word long in the Hebrew does not mean just length of days, but it means quality. I satisfy him and I will show you my salvation. The word salvation there does not mean just going to hell when you die and being delivered from that. The word salvation means deliverance, healing, peace, power, whatever you need. Amen. I'm not going to hell. I ain't worried about that. Okay? Kind of like that man on Gunsmoke. The bad man hired him to go kill Mike. Turns out Mike was a woman. He said he had done a lot of things, but he wasn't going to go kill the other woman that had all the land, okay? And she had the land, of course, with water on it, and she wouldn't sell it. And so anyway, so this man goes back over there to the bad man's house and throws him his money back, and his little smart-aleck gunfighter with his black hat and all these black things on, everything on him is black. You know what I'm saying? He got two guns, they shiny. And he tells the bad gunfighter to go to hell. The other man says, who don't have nothing shiny on him at all, he said, I done been there. How many of y'all can say that? Done been there and back two or three times. I have too and didn't like to smoke. You understand what I'm saying? There's hell on this earth that's not a burning hell down below. Okay, I'm not going to it. But I've been through enough of this kind up here. I don't like it, so I know I'm not going to like that, so I'm not going there. Done made arrangements on that. Done talked to God. God done took care of that. That's a done deal, baby. It will not change.
Amen.
So this salvation here is talking about that hell up here, Captain Ron. I've had enough of it. So it's the now year, so now it's time to make a change. God's working. Let him work in you. Don't hinder. Don't block. Don't forget my opening statement. The most painful regret you'll ever have is the one you can't fix. And I know there are some that cannot be fixed. God will have to take care of them. But there are some that we can fix. And the only way you can in any way control the flow of mercy into your life is blessed are the merciful, for they shall find mercy.